Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. And I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking you've had just about enough of us today, or in the last 24 hours of your life, because...
Well, too bad!
Yeah, I was getting to that point. You jumped in on my punchline, but... Basically, you're going to see more and more of us over the next couple
days.
Was
the punchline well too bad?
It was literally going to be well too bad, but I was going to lead it up, like, because we've done this Senior Bowl live show and it's been awesome. We've had constant written content pouring out. We've been on Twitter.
Well, too bad!
It's a little early, but that's okay. Anyway, we're here to do this awesome podcast to review, and I know we've already talked about some of the written articles. You've seen a little bit of thoughts on different things and on Twitter, different things that we saw. Here to review the top practices of, or the top performances of the first practice.
First day of Senior Bowl is always kind of crazy because you got to cram in so many different things. You got the weigh-ins.
Why don't they just break it up?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so weird.
Wait, like, what should they break it up to though?
You could do weigh-ins on Monday. You could do the media day on Monday.
I really do think you could do the weigh-ins.
Or you could do
it on
Monday. Wednesday.
Do you think they do that for the players though? Like, do you think they purposely give the players a really hard very first day because you truly want to get these dudes, like, out of their element and you want them to be mentally, not as sharp to see what their, instincts maybe are as people and players? Is that a thing? Do you think that's a thing?
Or
am I too conspiracy theory with this?
No, the NFL's weird enough that that's definitely a possibility, I think. Now, should it be? I don't know. And is it actually helping them glean any type of information? Probably not. But the reality is, the NFL is weird, so who knows what the reasoning might be. But ultimately, I don't understand it. Like, the Senior Bowl should be in a situation where they're like, okay, like, look at this. It makes no sense. We get up at 6:30, well, some of us earlier than that even, to go to these weigh-ins, to watch these players weigh in. They have to get up early. And then we go right from that, we got media day, and it's everything crammed together, and they cut down practices, and they only have... Well, now we're only getting two practices, one and a half, really, because today was not that much, not that involved for a practice because they have to install and everything like that. So, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, and then today's practice canceled because of the rain and everything. We'll still have you covered beautifully, obviously, over at TDN. But yeah, it's
weird. It's just a weird situation. That's all. I was just kind of bringing it up there. But weigh-ins this morning. Do we have like? Some early winners, some guys you remember?
Yeah, I mean, I think guys, obviously, you know, I mean, it's
Terrell
a small
Hanks,
part of it.
Terrell Hanks rocked up. Yes. New Mexico State linebacker, and he actually performed really well in practice. We can get to that in a sec. Montez Sweat, actual freak.
Yes, actual physical freak.
Charles Menehue, prehistoric creature with 36 3/8 inch arms or whatever it was.
I don't think I've seen. Julian Davenport wasn't even that long, was it? It was close. It was maybe the same
long.
He was the longest arm person I've seen, I think.
Yeah, it's had to be close. Yeah. His had to be close.
Yeah. Remember DeAndre Hall, cornerback? He had like 34.5-inch arms. He was a corner.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, they called him Spider or something.
That was yeah.
Yeah, he's a freak.
No.
He was prehistoric.
I remember. Is there anybody else? Rocky Sin looked like the most rocked up,
yeah,
I guess full pun intended.
He was smaller than everybody thought he'd be.
Well, I think people wanted him to be 6'1", or at least above 6 foot, and I think he was only 5'11", and like a little under 200 pounds. So, right. I guess it makes sense, but...
You know who was a big winner? Honestly, Nasir Adderley looked like awesome. Like, there are people I know, Jim had told us on the podcast, that people were kind of wondering about Nasir Adderley's frame.
Right.
195, you know, might be a little bit on the light side, but the dude is rocked up. Like, he has a...
Yeah, he could put more. He could put more weight on him,
yeah,
for sure.
So, I thought those guys were winners. There was other ones too, man. I'm looking down the roster right now. I mean,
Daylon Mack lost 7 pounds.
Gardner Minshew was a winner. Gardner Minshew
looked big.
He was rocked up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody said he did like 50 push-ups, like off the stage before he came out on the stage.
I mean, that's what I would do for sure.
I mean, yeah, why not? But
you know,
it's just funny.
I mean, we all do it right before we go on dates. You know, don't act like you don't.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, do it all the time. Yeah, definitely. Who else impressed? Carl Granderson.
Carl Granderson's a baseball name, so you can move on.
Honestly, what is he even doing here?
I don't know.
That's wrong event, bud. Bobby Okereke, like, he was rocked up. He was jacked.
Tim Anconi was there.
Crazy long arms.
Yoked.
Yeah. You know who won the weigh-in?
Who?
Hunter Renfro.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Giving hope to super average white guys everywhere.
I'm telling you, man. He legitimately,
what was he, like 5'7", 170?
He was taller than that.
Tiny hands.
He was taller than that. But, yeah, hand size.
Doesn't look athletic at all.
He was sub. He was like 7¾
hands. Hunter Renfro is the guy that you play in your community intramural league who just cooks the crap out of you.
Yeah.
That's Hunter Renfro.
Absolutely. And I think that we saw that in practice, didn't we?
Well, he was cooking everybody. Yeah. So, good. I mean, well, you know, it wasn't an intramural league. This is actually a tryout for the NFL, the National Football League. But, you know.
Yeah. I think his strength is going to be a concern to teams, but
his strength,
he can play football.
His strength is his grit, John. His strength is his grit.
Actually, one of the best points you've ever made on this podcast. I don't think anyone would have ever used that word to describe Hunter Renfro.
No, no one's ever used the word grit to describe Hunter Renfro.
This is a really revolutionized moment for analyzing wide receivers in the NFL. But I think that beyond that...
Oh, Dalton Risner had 34¼-inch arms.
Yes, that was a big result.
So everybody's kind of talking about, hey, he's got less than 33-inch arms or whatever, 34-inch arms, so he can't play tackle.
You know who is rocked up? Josh Oliver's a big dude, man.
Yes,
he's
a
big dude.
Yes, he is.
And he moves really well.
He fits the athletic profile, no question about it.
Yeah.
No, you know who is really impressive, though? Trayvon Wesco, is that how you say his name? The yeah. WVU dude.
Yeah.
Because he's a tight end. I think he's 6'4", 6'5". And he came in, he was listed at WVU, he was listed at 250. He came in at 270, which is a massive difference. And I'll even, you know, kind of...
Is he really listed at that?
I think he was listed at 250.
He's got some junk in the trunk.
So he's about 270, and he moved really smooth in the practice for a guy who was 270, I thought. So yeah. I thought he was kind of a winner in that area, too.
Oh, you know who won? Renell Wren. Dude's unbelievable. His frame is ridiculous. He's just huge.
Yeah.
He's a huge individual.
Yep.
He, I think he was just under 6'5", like 315 pounds. I mean, he just has a massive frame, but moves so well.
I was talking with Justice Mosqueda. I don't know who he works for now. Bleacher Report, Optimal Scouting, whatever. Justice is all over the
17,
place.
17,000.
He's been a hop around scout like all of us have. But anyways, yeah. I was talking to him after the weigh-ins that night, and he said, "How much have you watched of him?" And I told him, "I've watched a limited amount."
Who's this?
Wren of Wren.
Oh, Wren.
And I told him I've watched a limited amount, and he was like, "The third and fourth step when he's coming into pass rush." Really shaky. Just, like, doesn't really have a plan, really know what he's doing. But that first step his size, he's like, I don't see dudes that big with that kind of first step. You really don't.
Yeah.
And anytime you can have a guy with that trait, you draft him and you build around it, right?
For
you
sure.
You just hope that you can teach him the rest of this stuff because that's definitely the stuff you can't teach.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think he had a great day of practice, too, as we transition to that part of the day. You know, I think if you looked at the defensive line, my overall takeaway from the day – it's a good group. It's just not a great pass rush group. Like, I don't think this is a – there's no, like, clear – you know, if Josh Allen would have been here, he'd be running circles around all these guys as pass rushers. I mean
– You would hope.
I know he would be. I mean, it just – people build Montez Sweat as the big winner from today. But, look, Montez Sweat had a solid day, but all Montez Sweat did was power rush some guys that weren't stronger than him.
Correct.
It wasn't like bend or flexibility or burst or – great inside spins or counters. He just bull rushed guys and knocked down some guys that
He set him up well, give him credit, but you're right.
Yeah.
The reason why Sweat is here and the question marks around Sweat have to do with his speed rushing, his flexibility, and his bend around the edge. He did not win in any of those categories
today.
He won in different areas, but like you said, a lot of these guys aren't starting caliber offensive linemen in the NFL. So what are you really judging with Montez Sweat? He does things well, but he didn't answer any questions about how limited he might be as a prospect, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with you. I think that the questions are all still there. So that's the thing. You can have a good day at the Senior Bowl and all the same questions still be there about you.
Right.
You know? And honestly, if
which
they're
is
there
dangerous.
About you, they're probably confirmed.
Right, which is dangerous because you get, you know, places like NFL Network and a lot of the big places will be like, oh, big winners today.
Yeah.
This is who's a big winner, and they might have had the highlights, but are they really? Because big winners, if you ask me, are guys that kind of prove that they can do something else. Like Trayvon Wesco was a dude who I looked at and I'm like, this dude's got a great frame. He can be an inline guy. He can block. And that's how he's used. And then all of a sudden he starts running these really smooth routes, catching through traffic. And I'm like, okay, now that's something different. That's a big winner. Are there any other guys like that?
Well, I think more than anything, it was the edge group, you know, that defensive line group I'm talking about with the pass rushers. You know, it's just Carl Granderson, Jalen Ferguson, you know, all these guys, really linear dudes. whether it's more hybrid types like Jonathan Ledbetter and Isaiah Bugs and Kingsley Keke. You know, Keke's got a little bend and flexibility. He had a good day today. I thought he had a really good day. But out of all those other guys, Keke was easily the best one, and I didn't really think he was like an elite player or anything.
Yeah, right.
But like
sure.
None of those other guys just really like Jalen Ferguson. I know he has that record in sacks. We're gonna hear about that.
No, Jalen got worked, man.
He's just not that great. Like,
I just
what's
think
his great
he got
trait?
Worked.
Like,
yeah,
I don't see it.
He was better than his competition, and I think. But that's why you bring a guy like that here, right? You want to see if that's the reason why. And I, you know, he's got two more days to go. We're not going to be able to see the middle day, but we'll see with Jalen because some guys aren't always that fast right out of the gate with getting to their ability. So who knows? We'll see it.
Right. I think the offensive line had some big opportunities too throughout the day. Andre Dillard got a lot of love. Really good athlete, but I still don't know about the anchor. You know, in 1v1s, honestly, he got beat up more than anything else. Like, I did not think he was a winner of the 1v1 period at all. In the other drills,
he's
he moved
just
well.
He's fast,
but,
man.
Yeah, he's quick.
He's so fast. It's almost like that get-off with Ren.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you like. That's what you want to build around. And, like, Dillard's moving and sliding and getting his hands up and getting out of his stance and prepping his body for contact before these D linemen are even like getting out of their stance, or at least that's what it was on day one. So yeah. He's a guy who we at the Draft Network have been lower on than it seems the rest of the national media. I mean, certainly Daniel Jeremiah recently put out his mock draft, and I think he put out a big board too where Dillard is going high and is regarded very highly in that. So
well, the NFL will always fall in love with tackles that can move. It's a given
but it's
the groundwork of being a good tackle. Like,
sure. Yeah.
You're far from a finished product. You know, reaching proper set points on a snap-to-snap basis, that's something I think Andre Dillard really struggles with. So it's not to say that he isn't a good prospect. There's definitely the tools to be a good prospect, but his landing spot will be so key. Like, he's a bust if he doesn't land in a great spot. That's a risky pick. You know, it's a very risky pick. Too often, I think the big networks focus on just the positive side of things instead of seeing both aspects of it and the fact that it's a really risky pick, I think, with him. But I don't think he's the only one either. You know, I just think that those issues are there with him and he's being billed as kind of a winner. So again, you know, kind of bringing some context to the situation. One guy getting billed as a winner who was absolutely a winner no matter who you talk to, Andy Isabella. I mean, that guy, he can run routes, man.
He can move, dude.
He is a good, good athlete.
That guy. Now, I was talking with Brad Kelly a little bit afterwards, and he likes Isabella. He thinks Isabella is good. But there are some concerns a little bit with Isabella. I mean, you're watching a couple of his snaps, and holy crap, his feet are so – they're so quick. They're so explosive. He's able to break in and out of his routes and set these cornerbacks up with his hips and – I thought he was so impressive in today's practice because of that, because he was able to create so much separation with his feet. But when I was talking with Brad Kelly, he said, you know, that you can't take that away from him. He is elite in that area, and a lot of times creating separation in the NFL does have to do that with that in and out of your routes, quickness and explosiveness. But he's worried about how he gets off of contact if he's kind of like pressed close to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And then also, Isabella is not a hands catcher. He is someone who brings it into his body. Now, we've seen other receivers have good careers by doing that, but it's tough. You know, anytime you leave it, anytime you leave the ball to come all the way to your body instead of being more of a natural guy who likes to extend and get the full catch radius, it's always just something that's in the back of your mind. And it's hard to judge Isabella from it too much, especially day one, because when the ball did come his way, he was able to catch it.
Right.
But that is just something to think about with
him. And he had small hands. You know, that was a big
part
of the
way. He does. He has small hands.
So I think he had a great day, but definitely there's still going to be questions with him. I think no doubt about that. You know,
I thought Terry McLaurin had a great day, too.
Great day, yeah.
He was awesome. And we've been kind of talking him up since Jim Nagy was on the show. And he kind of highlighted, hey, the NFL wanted this guy. Yes, we invited Paris Campbell, but the NFL also wanted Terry McLaurin here from Ohio State. And I thought that he was great. I think he was the fastest clocked wide receiver during any drills today, above everybody else. And so that's really saying something. He's a guy who could be a deep threat, but they're trying to see what more he could be, I guess.
There were a lot of good receivers today, man. We mentioned Hunter
Renfrow.
And Anthony Johnson was good today, had some really nice wins as a receiver. Debo Samuel was terrific in the South team practice. We thought this corner group would get overwhelmed, but, man, it was right out the gate. Like, it didn't take long at all. I mean, it was Keelan Doss had a good day. He was a couple of these corners really, really struggled. But Keelan Doss, who did he work? He worked somebody. So, I mean, he just crushed him. Corey Ballantyne was the one that Terry McLaurin kept.
He had a rough day.
Yeah,
he had a rough day. Ballantyne was getting picked on.
Yeah, Jacoby Myers got him on Arwari a couple times. Arwari got him toward the end a little bit too. And some good back and forth there. And I think it was Emon Marshall that got. Yeah, it was Emon Marshall got bad by Keelan Doss, man. Like,
oh, I think you're right. I think you're right. Yep.
That was a big one. And then Penny Hart, this kid from Georgia State, who I didn't know. I had not even heard of. Dude can fly, and he can move in and out of breaks. I thought he was one of the most impressive players on the field.
Gruden said that he was going to specifically be a slot guy this week. So, I mean, you're going to be able to see all the routes that you want to see of him utilizing his speed.
Crisp hip snap too. I was watching some of the replays. Yep. Man, that guy can move. Yeah, I was really, really impressed with Penny Hart. Jacoby Myers was good. One guy that wasn't, and it just stood out because the receiver group is so good. Jalen Smith, like, the dude can't move. Like, he's clearly a worse athlete than everybody else here. It's frustrating because I wanted to see, like, somebody like Keyshawn Johnson
or Marcus Lodge
or Cody Thompson even from last week, Terry Godwin. All those guys were so easily better than Smith on tape, I thought. And then first day of practice, Smith he didn't look like he knew what he's doing as a route runner. He could not get off contact. You know, guys were pressing him. He couldn't work back to him. He dropped a pass. Yeah. He just never got comfortable.
Right. No, I think that's a good way to put it. He just didn't look comfortable. But he hasn't looked comfortable in a lot of what Louisville has been able to do, which makes me think that he's just not a very comfortable receiver. It's not seeing where he wins, it's not easily visible. Right. You've kind of got to use your imagination and see him win in ways that aren't
there on day.
Right. Yeah.
Really just aren't there. Yeah. The linebacker group, I didn't notice a whole lot from. I'm looking forward to watching them more, I guess, on Thursday. But I really thought Terrell Hanks, he was so awesome. Physical with guys off the line of scrimmage. You know, it was just natural for him to be that way.
And yep.
I'll have to look closer at some of the tape and stuff for the practices to see, was his hand technique good or was it not, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm. But really impressed with it, just his physicality. And he brought it to people. You know, he had that mentality.
Right. No, he was, see that. When we did that live stream, he was my defensive player of the day because I wanted to make sure that I highlighted him. I thought he had a great day. He had a great weigh-in, too. His body type looked great, and you can see he likes to be physical with it.
His body, he's jacked, man.
Right, that's very, very. You want to wrap it up with the quarterbacks or what?
Yeah, let's talk about the quarterback group. Best of the group on the day, in my opinion, was Drew Lock. But I'll also admit I didn't get to see a ton of the South team quarterbacks practice. The North team, Lock was easily the best dude there. It wasn't close. And I didn't even think Lock was, like, amazing or anything. But Will Greer really struggled early in the day, I guess. Let me look here to remember.
Will Greer is a lot more like Jameis Winston than I think people are caring to admit. He has
way worse arm.
Well, sure, but I mean, you just, like, there were accuracy times where it's like, Will, there's no coverage. Right. Like, you literally just missed a guy. You just missed a guy.
Yeah.
There's no coverage there. You're playing versus air. And there were times where he was throwing behind receivers. Then when 7-on-7 came, he was kind of letting passes fly, and they were going high. Then it's like, okay, you watch those reps, and you go, I mean, it's just one rep. He just missed him, right? But, I mean, like, that's the thing with Jameis. And that's the reason why people don't like Jameis as a quarterback, because both of those guys, I think, they're kind of 50-50 throwers. But then also, they're just not naturally accurate.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing with Will Greer is I watch him, and there's a lot of stuff that I think that he does well. He's pretty good with play action. He's good on the run. I'd say he's shown highs in all of these areas. He can hit a big pass deep down the field. He can hit high. But the consistency just is not there. And I've watched the NFL, and even people who aren't fans of the Buccaneers eat up a guy like Jameis Winston because they just go, oh, he's not consistent. That's Will Greer to me. And I wish it wasn't the case, and I wanted him to come in the Senior Bowl and kind of light it up, be a little bit more consistent, have a little bit of a higher accuracy percentage with some of those lower and intermediate throws. But here we are, day one, and the concerns that I had with Will Greer coming in were alive and well there.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. And I think, honestly, in that South team, I mean, it was probably Tyree Jackson or Jarrett Stidham who were the best quarterbacks.
I would say Tyree Jackson, but Jarrett Stidham had some nice throws.
He did, yeah, and we knew Jarrett Stidham would look fine in this atmosphere.
This is where he has to thrive.
We don't care, though, because we've seen him in the big moments. We've seen him under pressure. We've seen him with tons of talent around him. We've seen him when they open the offense up. None of it matters. Like, I don't care. I mean, Jarrett Stidham can do great this week, and that's awesome for him. Like, I'm not saying, you know, not good for him, but at the same time, like, my evaluation of him is staked on what I've seen for 2 years now in games. Like, he's going to have to do something to prove me wrong at some point in those situations.
And sure.
That just hasn't happened with him, right. So that's where I'm really worried about with him. Tyree Jackson, obviously, this is huge for him to be here. I just think it's massive. I don't think there's any way Tyree Jackson was anything other than a day three pick unless he gets to the Senior Bowl. I just don't think there's a chance.
I actually really liked his time at the podium. He seemed really confident. Mm-hmm. He kind of cleared up the fact that he knew after his last game that he was going to declare for the draft, is what he said.
Huh. Why'd he enter the transfer?
So he entered the transfer protocol because his family told him to, and his family entered him in that because they said, that's fine, but we want to make sure that you have every decision that you could possibly want to make at your fingertips. And so he even said at the podium, he's like, I never considered leaving Buffalo, ever. Huh. But I went in the portal because my family wanted me to just see what other schools were interested in me. He's like, I did it for them. I was never going to leave Buffalo, and I knew that I was going to declare after my last game with them. I think the bowl game or whatever it was. So that was kind of – it was cool for him to clear that up. He talked about just attributes that he has as being a taller quarterback and what he brings to the table, being able to quote-unquote make all the throws. And he talked about being a leader, being a CEO of a franchise. And I thought his podium was actually really good. I was happy with how he handled himself at the podium, because that's always good to see.
Right, absolutely. And then the North team quarterbacks, I thought Ryan Finley and Daniel Jones were throwing behind people and late.
I mean, Daniel Jones just isn't good, guys.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what to tell you. He was pretty damn vanilla at the podium too. A timid dude.
He's that kind of guy. Yeah.
I really think, and I get like, I'm not. I don't want to say anything like bad about Daniel Jones. I mean, if that's who he is, it's who he is. Right. That's fine. But like for me, if I'm drafting a quarterback, I don't want to draft somebody like that, right. Because. And I also understand why the NFL likes a guy like that, because he is very controlled. What you see in Daniel Jones is what you're going to get. There's no high variance. There's no this or that. There's no unplanned. There's no mystery. What you see is what you get with Daniel Jones, whether you're talking to him, whether he's your quarterback, whether he's making a throw, whatever it is. So that's kind of my takeaway with Daniel.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that's well said about Jones. And I think it was the wildest thing in the quarterback group was seeing Gardner Minshew check down on air. This dude had route progressions, three down the field, one check down. He's going to his check down on air, Trevor.
Had to do it.
Like,
had to do it. Had to show the teams.
But.
Had to show the teams.
They haven't seen it on tape ever, huh?
Nope.
Haven't seen you throw short to intermediate ever, huh?
Got to take the short stuff.
I mean, it is unbelievable. Like, the coach, at one point I saw the coach go over to him and, like, just point down the field. I'm like,
yeah.
I can picture his words, like, hey, Gardner, throw this way, down the field, further, Gardner, And it was, I really, Minshew's hard guy to dislike, let's be honest.
Right.
I think he's going to scrap and find a place in the NFL, but he is just so that system at Washington State.
Yeah.
Obviously, people know going into this podcast, you and I aren't wild about any of these quarterbacks. I think we both think Drew Locke's the best one here, right? Tyree's got upside. I think I'm intrigued. Daniel Jones might have, spot starter, but I don't know. I'm not fired up about anything he really offers, to be honest, from what I've seen at this point. So, I thought this was an environment he could look really good in, but maybe not.
It's only one day. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot more practice to undergo, so we're looking forward to it, obviously. Today we've got a live mock draft show going on. We're going to be putting it on as a full staff. It's going to be a lot of fun. Trevor and I have the first 10 picks of the mock draft. It's going to be a blast later today. That's Wednesday.
Wednesday, yep.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what day of the week it is. That's been that kind of week. It's going to be awesome. Going to have graphics, the whole thing. It's going to be live on Twitter. It's going to be great. Just like the show was yesterday, we'll have another live show after practice on Thursday, wrapping up practice just like we did today. If you haven't seen our live show, go over to draftnetwork.com. You can check out the live show. All of us on camera at one point or another, kind of recapping the first day of practice, talking about highlights. We have a ton of fun. Paige DeMarcus hosts. She does a great job. It's great stuff. We've got tons of content. You've got perspectives from all the different analysts at TDN about something that happened during practice. Brad wrote up a ton of receivers. Ben did his top five standouts for the day. Joe and I did the North and South team recaps that are up over there. You've got interview stuff coming in. Yep. I mean, the content coming is just, it's crazy, folks. The content that's in there, the content that's coming. So definitely check it out. And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow to offer our thoughts on what day three will look like and some other stuff as well, as we always do from around the draft world. So until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.